title of the message, if you could just look at the title, I love this title. I feel like I say that every single week, but I really do love this title. Do not be deceived, and God is not mocked. Do not be deceived, and God is not mocked. Well, if you could picture that, right? God gets mocked every day all over the places in our world. Jesus Christ! People call on the name of the Lord in vain, left and right. It's almost like a curse. Isn't that what's happening in this world? And perhaps you do that. But Scripture says, do not be deceived. God will not and cannot be mocked. God will not and cannot be mocked. The word mocked, mukterizo, is a strong word, and this is what it means. Basically, you turn up your nose at someone. Could you try that to your neighbor? Yeah. Could you do that? Sneer at someone and basically treat someone with contempt. Have you ever experienced that? Someone who turned their nose at you to your face. I have, actually, a couple of times in a very interesting places. But it basically signifies, God, you're full. You're full. And isn't it interesting? Bible says, fool says in his heart, there is no God. And I think this is such a strong word, to do not be deceived, which implies that you could be easily fooled. In fact, many of you may be fooled right now that you could get away with the lifestyle you're living. Right? And basically says, no, do not be deceived. God will not be mocked. And that's the title. As we come to the close of Galatians' gospel, after spending about 7 months, I was thinking, I feel so rich with the gospel of Galatians. Does anybody feel like that? You know, I've been sharing, it's a simple book, only made up of like 100 some verses. You could read in 20 minutes. And last 7 months, I must have read at least 50 times or more. At least 50 times. I read 30 times before start preaching. And last 6 months, at this stage of my life, I had an opportunity to explain to God's people what that means. And that simple gospel clarify two things, and I'm going to add one more, three things. Number one, salvation is only by grace. That is so clear to me. It's God's religion. Christianity distinguishes from all the others because only the gospel and Christianity is God's religion. Everything else is human religion. Second thing is, once you are saved by grace, you are indwelled by God the Holy Spirit. Living with the Holy Spirit is what Christian life is. If you don't know Holy Spirit, if you are not walking with the Holy Spirit, Scripture says you are not a child of God. Okay? So those two things, very, very clear, which we knew. Justification by faith, sanctification by the Holy Spirit. But I want to add one more today. So how do I live with this grace amazing in my life? How do I live walking with the Holy Spirit? I continue to sow my life so that we will reap what God has prepared. Okay, sowing and reaping. Let me read the text one more time, starting from verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Do you hear it? You think you will get away with it, human beings. Jesus Christ! Like, you know, you just kind of sneer at him. Lift up your nose at him with contempt. But Bible says, do not be deceived. You will never get away with it. Okay? God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he will reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially those who are of the household of faith. And that's the word of the Lord. And today, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for because whatever you sow, you reap. Sowing and reaping. This is the unchanging principle of life. This is the unchanging law or the principle of order and consistency of life. Okay? Do you know the law of thermodynamics? Right? We learn things like that. But God's word says, whatever you sow, you'll reap. When I was probably like Tim's age, my father passed away. And he was a godly man. And there are a couple of things that he drilled into my mind. I mean, like godly teaching. My father used to tell me two things that I recall very, very clearly. Number one, do not treat your pastor with contempt. That's something he taught me, okay? And I think it is related to what we are reading here. The second thing he used to say to me, and I didn't quite understand at the time, because it sounded so like, I don't know, proverb to me. He said, Paul, you're going to reap what you sow in your life. You're going to reap what you sow in life. He kind of like drilled it into me. So that stayed with me. So he always tell me to live diligently and don't expect like something you did not sow and try to reap it. Okay, but it's basically from the word of God itself. So what does it mean, sowing and reaping? This is what it means. If a farmer wants a harvest, he must sow. If you don't sow, there is no harvest. Does that make sense? Okay. And what kind of fruit, what kind of harvest, it depends on what kind of seed and where you plant your seed, and you will have the harvest. And that applies to all of you, all human beings, in all areas of life. That's the law of God and the principle of God. You're probably living the way you're living because you've been sowing the way you've been living. What did you sow in 2022? Can I just ask you? What have you been sowing to your life? You all have been sowing. You may be sowing to your sinful lifestyle. And you are reaping what you're reaping right now. If not, you will definitely reap later. Okay? Moreover, the kind of harvest or what you will harvest is determined by what kind of seed and where, what kind of soil you plant the seed. It means sowing and reaping applies, this principle applies in terms of nature, in terms of quality, in terms of quantity. Let me explain. If I sow corn seed, what should I expect to harvest? Strawberry? No, it doesn't work like that. If you sow corn, you will reap corn, the nature. Secondly, the quality. If I sow like really lousy seed, dying seed, to bad soil, can I expect good harvest? Absolutely not. Good seed, good soil, and you could expect good fruits. Catch that? The quality. Also, it applies to quantity as well. And we see this particularly in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 in terms of your giving, you as a Christian. Right? If you sow plentifully, you could expect to reap plentifully. If you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. Let's say there is a field, and I throw in 10 seed for corn. Can I expect a lot of harvest? Probably not. What if I throw about 1,000 seed? You could expect much more. So this law of sow and reaping applies in your nature, in terms of its nature, quality as quantity, and that's unchanging law of God. You may be thinking, wow, what has that got to do with the gospel? What has that got to do with gospel of Christianity? You know, I've been thinking about this, and I was talking to Tim last night. Basically, how am I going to relate this whole principle of sowing and reaping with the gospel of justification by faith? You know, I came to this conclusion. God is a farmer, and the word is the seed, and it's being sown in your life. You know what? He's going to reap it. Depends on what kind of soil you are. Does that make any sense? So this unchanging law of God, Bible and Paul, the author, seals it by saying, do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. In other words, make no mistake about it. You're not going to get away with it. God is not mocked. The possibility of being deceived is real and great for all of you. As you're listening, do you feel like you are being deceived? Or do you feel like you're sowing to something that matters? I'm really asking this question. Because it says in 2 John verse 7, for many deceivers have gone out into the world. The world is full of lies, which is contradicting to the teaching of the scripture. Where is God? Where is his coming? Where is judgment? Who cares? Right? All these lies. For many deceivers have gone out into the world. Those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh, and such a one is a deceiver and the Antichrist. And they're full of it. Are you listening to that? Just keep drifting with that? Living like a fool? According to scripture, you think you could deceive God? Okay, Bible truth teaches that, and Jesus taught that a devil is a liar and a murderer. What he really want to do is take you to hell with him. That's what he's trying to do. So in this closing of a Galatian gospel today, in closing, Paul writes, do not be deceived, and God is not mocked, for whatever sows and you will reap in three areas. Number one, in the areas of Christian ministry. Number two, in the area of Christian life in general. If you're not Christian, really does not apply to you. Okay? Number three, in the area of Christian doing good. Okay? Let me explain. So this law of sowing and reaping, which is a unchanging principle of God, applies to Christian ministry. You as a Christian, you serve God, and it's going to apply to you. And it's in verse 6. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. On Friday nights in our Galatians study, we went over this verse a couple of times. A lot of people are really not familiar with this verse at all. Let me read it one more time, okay? Let the one who is taught the word, that applies to the congregation, that's you. You're being taught, okay? The seed is being sown into your heart. By whom? By servant that God has appointed, right? The one who is taught the word, share all good things with the one who teaches. Who's the one who teaches? Pastor. God-ordained person. People think this is something embarrassing to talk about. I don't think it is an embarrassing thing at all. This is the principle of God. This is what he has taught in terms of sowing and reaping. Word of God is being sown to your life, and I hope that's precious to you. Can I just ask you, if the word of God being sown in your life is precious, would you be willing to say amen? Good. Not all of us. It doesn't really matter to some of us. But to some of us, it is very, very precious. And Holy Spirit living, Christian living, tells us to share all good things with the one who's teaching. Let me explain this. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17 says, elders who do well as leaders should be reckoned worthy of a double honor, double compensation, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. Who's that? That's the pastor. Let's not be embarrassed, okay? I'm just trying to teach God's principle here. Elders who do well as leaders should be reckoned as worthy of a double compensation, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain. So the laborer deserves his wage. Basically, the scriptural teaching is God appoints his servants, so the word of God to the congregation, and congregation support him materially so that the ministry of the word could go forth. Does that make sense? It's not like you're hiring someone so that he could teach the word of God. It's not like that at all. You cannot abuse pastors like that. And pastors cannot abuse the congregation the other way around either. This is the God's way of sowing and reaping and the principle of a Christian ministry. Okay? So that he or he may be able to labor, toil in preaching and teaching with all of his heart, in entirety, you should try to support. Okay? So what is the relationship between the pastor and the congregation? It's the koinonia and fellowship in the Spirit. It doesn't really make sense unless you are saved by grace and Spirit of God is leading your life. It's the partnership. God appoints a pastor, not because he is special, but he appoints a pastor so that he could sow the word of God into your life. And you support and build a ministry together so that we could carry out the ministry of the word together. Okay, let me just move on to the next one. The law of sowing and reaping in your life, Christian life in general. And there's only one verse, verse 8. And this will apply to all of you. Okay? For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. Let me just pause for a second. Do not be deceived. God will not be mocked. This is the way it's going to be in your life. Okay, that's basically what Scripture is saying. For the one who sows to his own flesh, his own sinful nature, self-glorifying, self-pleasure, selfish life, self-sin nature life, you're going to reap from your own flesh corruption. Okay? Second category of life, but the one who sows to the Spirit. Isn't it interesting? How do you sow to the Spirit? What would you sow to the Spirit? If sowing to the flesh is to yourself, sowing to the Spirit is to God, because Spirit is God. What would that look like? Could you think with me? What would sowing to Spirit look like in your life? What have you been sowing in your life to the Spirit? I really ask you to think about this, okay? The one who sows to the Spirit will, from the Spirit, reap eternal life. So, Bible's teaching is the principle or the law of sowing and reaping operates in Christian life. It is operating to you. You think somehow it'll work out. Mm-mm. Do not be deceived. God will not be mocked. Whatever you are sowing, you will be reaping. You'll be reaping in this life. You'll be reaping in your marriage. You'll be reaping in your years to come. And you will definitely be reaping in eternity. That's what the scripture is saying. Can I just ask you, when you hear this kind of teaching, how many of you, your heart is rejoicing? Would you say amen? My heart rejoices. How about you? Why aren't your heart rejoicing then? You think about it. Could it be because you are sowing and reaping, sowing to your flesh, and you know it? That is why this word is being spoken to you, so that you will turn around and come back to the Lord. So many people, church people, are not sowing to the Spirit. So many church people are not. They are only sowing to their own flesh. You know, we talked about this on Friday night. My baby, my house, my business. I mean, those are important things. With perspective of a kingdom and all, those are very, very important aspects. But apart from the kingdom, those are all for me. That's selfish. So you're sowing to your flesh. And if you continue to sow to the flesh, from the flesh you'll reap corruption, Bible says. Okay? So two categories of life. The one who sows to his own flesh, referring to his sin, self, sin nature, corrupted nature, self-glorifying, self-pleasure, selfish lifestyle. Okay? And one who sows to the Spirit. Can you imagine that? Would those two lives be different or kind of similar? Absolutely different. Don't you think? It's rather interesting that flesh and the Spirit is the soil that you are sowing to. And you're going to reap from it. Okay? The harvest, in other words, that you will see in your life depends on what and where you are sowing. And it applies to all of you. Don't turn your face. It's not contingent upon your wife. It is not contingent upon your other things. It applies to every single one of you. Whatever you are sowing, you are reaping. Okay? Can we specifically talk about how you could sow these things? What about your thoughts and deeds? Every single day, Monday through Saturday, what do? You're sowing. What about your habits? What about your plans? What do you plan about? I'm really asking you, right? What about your time? Where is your time being spent? Right? What about your money? How do you spend your money? Spend it all on yourself. Stinge it to the Lord and kingdom. A cup of coffee costs about $7-$8 these days. Just try to put things into perspective. Right? Your whole life. If you add up these things, that's your life, and that's the kind of sowing you're doing. That's the kind of sowing you're doing right now. It's a vital teaching of the Scripture. We are not helpless victims of my personality and nature and culture, but rather, your character and life largely depends on what you are sowing in your life right now. If it is being this is being registered, would you say amen? Christians, now I'm saved. The Holy Spirit lives in me. Now I live whatever I want to live. It doesn't make any sense. Now, with a new heart, you would want to invest your life to something that matters. In this previous section where the life in the flesh and the Spirit were handled in chapter 5, we talked about walking with the Holy Spirit. You do not walk 10 steps at a time. You walk one step at a time. Should I take this apartment? Should I take this job? Should I meet this person? Should I do this? Walking with the Holy Spirit. It'll make up your life. In chapter 6, it is talking about sowing. Sowing is not something you do haphazardly. It has to be very, very intentional. It has to be planned, and it has to be taken care of every single day. Does that make any sense? Okay. So, Christian life or Christ-likeness is harvest. It really is a harvest. You're harvesting what you've been sowing in your 20s right now. If you're in your 30s, you're harvesting what you've been sowing in your life in your 20s. So many people went to church for like 30, 40 years, really sowing to the Spirit. And you're going to see the fruits. And that's what the Scripture is teaching. Bible says, God's Word is the seed. Can I just ask you, what are you doing with the Word of God? What's happening? It depends on what your soil is. If it is like a path, as soon as you walk out, you forget everything. The birds take away everything. Satan takes away everything. There is no fruit. There is no root. There is no nothing. If you are rocky soil, oh, I got to go to the Bible study. And you go to the Bible study, you get excited, and before Wednesday comes, it doesn't really apply to you. doesn't affect you at all. If you are infested with like worries of this life and deceitfulness of getting rich in this world and thorns and thistles kind of heart, you're always worried about money, always worry about things of this world, so that worries and deceitfulness of wealth is choking you. That's why you have no energy. This is what Jesus taught people. Okay? But that there is a good soil. There's a good soil. Okay? Which will produce good harvest. Third area of sowing and reaping that Paul talks about is for Christians doing good in Christian life. Verse 9 and 10. Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap, and if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Now, Paul is encouraging, exhorting Christians to persevere. I shared last week, when I started English ministry in 1995, if you could just think about how long that is. It's about 27 years ago. First 15 years, my nature is very driven person, and I pour my life into ministry. I was a full-time dentist. I went to seminary and had family, and yet I just pour my life into ministry. And first 15 years, you know, I would just pour my life and work really hard, try to disciple, teach, preach, and then look and feel like there is nothing. Do you know what that feels like? You work so hard, but there feel like there seems to be no fruits whatsoever. I'm kind of concerned about, will that person, if he sees me at a restaurant, would he even try to recognize me? That kind of feeling. I don't know, maybe it was my insecurity. I don't know. But that's how it felt like for 15 years. People treated me, you're not one of us. You know, kind of like treatment. But after 15 years, things began to change, right? I don't feel like that anymore at all, people. Bible is telling Christians to persevere, because Christian work is not supposed to be easy. And there is definitely oppositions, definitely persecutions, and definitely people try to discourage you all the time. People even sneer at you. Do you realize, if you look around, right? Not that many people persevere. Look at this congregation. Not that many people persevere. Not that many people in their 30s and 40s and 50s persevere. You know, this generation, there are people who used to go to church who are in their 30s and 40s and 50s and even 60s right now. Where are they? Bible says, let us not grow weary of doing good, right? For in due season, we'll reap if we did not give up. I'm just thankful that I did not give up in first 15 years. Another 12, 13 years went by. And I have this confidence that perhaps I could finish this with the Lord. I could finish this with the Lord. Are you persevering? Or are you about to change to a different church? Let me try a different church. So many people are so fickle. Right? But the promise of the Lord is, in due season, we will reap. I know we are reaping right now. And I rejoiced yesterday as I was officiating the wedding. We baptized two of these pagans. Who became believers. Wow, what an amazing day it was. Right? Not because of me, but because of the Lord's work through his people, we were able to see a harvest. But you know what? The promise is, not only are we going to see the harvest in this life, I'm going to see harvest later on in this life. I'm preparing myself to continue to sow. Oh, I forgot to tell you. You know, When I was in college, Lord gave me grace, so I wanted to invest my life and sow my life to people. You know, you heard this so many times from me. So I started discipling people when I was in college. That's 35 years ago, people. I'm still sowing. I just finished the training in gospel coaching so I could continue this once I am done with preaching ministry. If Lord give me that kind of like health and life, I want to continue to sow to something that's going to matter. Can I just ask you, what are you sowing your life to? Whatever you're sowing, that's what you're going to reap. That's what the scripture is saying. Verse 10 says, as we have opportunity, and I think that's an amazing thing. You have an opportunity right now. I could promise you one thing, though. There's going to be a time when it comes, you will not have any more opportunity. Before you know it, you are sold out to your kids and your family and your house. And you have no desire to invest your life to anything else but your family and kids and the house. And, you know, I'm taking care of my elderly mom. She's 85, and I love her. I go visit her 2-3 times a week these days because she's getting old. You know what I'm learning? We human beings are so frail. Did you know that? She went to a top university in Korea, but she struggled to remember what day this is. Do you understand what I'm sharing right now? And I'm learning, wow. She took care of me when I was a baby. I was a baby once, right? Changed my diapers for years. Now I have this privilege to serve her a little bit. I'm glad that I live so close to her. Sometimes driving from where she is to all the way to Hicksville, it takes a long time. It takes about like an hour. And it frustrates me. Driving in New York frustrates me, but my heart still rejoices. This is what she has sown in my life. Now I get to serve her. Brothers and sisters, do not be deceived. God will not be mocked. You will reap what you sow. It's not contingent upon your spouse. It's your life. Do not be deceived. It takes perseverance. And Romans chapter 2, let me just read it to you. It's like the parallel passage in book of Romans. And basically speaks about the kind of life you're going to be harvesting. It says, the day of wrath, listen, day of wrath is coming. All of you, do not be deceived. It is coming. The day of wrath, when God's righteous judgment will be revealed, is coming, and he who renders to each one according to his works, according to what you have sown. Okay. To those who by patience in well-doing seek glory and honor and immortality of God, and he will be given eternal life. Second category, but those who are self-seeking, sowing to their flesh, and do not obey the truth, but obey the unrighteousness, there'll be wrath and fury. And that's the word of the Lord, people. I could be standing here sowing something to please your ears, but that would be a horrible thing. That would be a horrible thing. I'm sharing this with you. The day of wrath is coming, and it depends on what kind of life you've been sowing in your life. How's that apply to Galatian gospel? How's that apply? Is salvation by works? Absolutely not. Then how do they come together? This is how they come together. Only by grace your heart can be changed, and that's what the gospel is. God gives you a new heart, and you see the great grace of God. And you would want to live for him. So you give your entire life unto him. So you do want to live to bring joy and pleasure to him. That's what the good life is. It is by grace through faith in Christ for the good works. Ephesians chapter 2. By grace through faith in Christ for the good works. And do not be mocked. Okay? And do not be deceived. For God will not be mocked. So as you have opportunity, and you do have opportunity right now. You do. But one day that opportunity will cease. Absolutely will cease. When you have an opportunity, do good to everyone, especially to those who are in the household of God, which refers to the church. Let me close everything as we come to this closing of Galatians Gospel. What have you been sowing your life to? I'm really asking you to think about this. What have you been sowing your life to? To the flesh or to the spirit? Because you will reap, Bible says, you will recompense what you have sown, Scripture teaches. In terms of your Christian ministry, in terms of your Christian life, and in terms of doing good. Okay? You will be recompensed. And I share at the beginning, God is the farmer. Remember that? And he's sowing right now. And I was trying to put everything together. And how does this Galatians gospel and this sowing and reaping principle come together? And this is how it come together. God is the farmer, and he has sown Jesus into this world. Do you remember in John chapter 12, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a kernel of wheat," referring to himself, "falls to the ground and dies, it remains a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." God has sown Jesus on the cross so that he will have harvest. Jesus comes along, and Jesus taught the word of God, the reality, the truth. And this is one of the things that he shared. Listen carefully. This is what Jesus said. His winnowing fork is talking about judgment. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But the chaffs he will burn with the unquenchable fire. That's what Jesus taught. There's going to be a harvest. Because he's a farmer, he's been sowing, and he's going to reap. And the final harvest, it's going to be in God's hand. He's going to gather all the people, and basically we'll separate the wheat from the chaff. And the wheat is going to gather into his barn, and chaff will be thrown into the unquenchable fire. Okay? My brothers and sisters, do not be deceived. God will not be mocked. Don't take this lightly. You will reap what you sow. What you have sown. Let's pray.